Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 8th day of September 2022, which is a Thursday. And tonight, our board tech is none other than John.
Good evening, Pastor Ernie.
Well, thank you, John. And right here live in the studio, we have none other than Randall Gay.
Hey, everybody be blessed, no stress. Thank you.
They say, hey, 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 Randall Gay.
Take it away.
All right. And then you heard you heard the cackle, right? And that's none other than Lock and Load Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
Alrighty, there you go. We have a lot. We have a whole lot to. By the way, guess who called me last night? It was Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She called me to let me know that she's not dead because somebody's been spreading the word all around that she's dead. That somebody killed her or whatever. But she called and after talking to her for 5 minutes, I knew for sure she wasn't dead. Okay. And so, anyhow, in fact, I thank the good Lord that she's not, because she's a wonderful, wonderful doctor. And, in fact, we're going to have her on here with us sometime in the very near future. And with that, we have a lot to get to. I mean, we really have a lot to get to. You ready?
Ready. Let's take it away.
Oh, the title of the message was Truth or Consequences by God. And we're going to start tonight where we left off in Colossians chapter 1. And Randolph, would you like to read verses 1 through 8?
Sure. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, bringing forth fruit as it doeth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, which also declareth unto us your love in the Spirit.
All right, so here, this is known as one of the prison epistles. And I remember one time, one of those prissy preachers was telling me, because he did not like, the way we were preaching Romans 13. And this fellow would make excuses why he should not go out, should not go to the abortion mills and preach against that horrible, horrible sin of child killing. And so he would use Romans 13 to try to justify not doing it because it was legal. And he had made a statement that you'll never find me out there. As long as abortion is legal, I won't protest it. And I said, you know what? I don't think I'll ever find you doing anything that takes any courage at all. And he said, I don't find any place in the Bible where it says we're to stand against the government. I said, really? I said, have you ever heard of the prison epistles? He said, of course I have. Well, those prison epistles, by the way, do you know which epistles are prison epistles, Randy?
Let's see. The Ephesians, isn't Philippians one, and the other one is Romans, is it not?
No, it's Philemon.
Okay.
Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians.
Okay.
And actually, he was preaching from the prison in Rome. Okay,
right.
That's where. But it's those four. But anyhow, so I asked him, I said, have you ever heard of the prison epistles? He said, of course I have. I says, no. Why do you think that they're called prison epistles? And he says, well, it's because Paul was preaching from prison. I said, that's correct. Now, was he in prison for obeying God or government? He says, you know what? He said, I never thought of it that way. I may have to change my position. Oh, my. Anyhow.
Let's hope so.
Yes.
So here he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love of you for you. Now, what is the church was known for its love for each other? Give me some examples how that they showed that love for each other.
Well, in Acts, they shared everything in common.
Well, that's true, but they were willing to lay their lives down for each other.
Yes. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here, so, in fact, he said even for a good man, you know.
Right.
But so here now, as we look at that, the church there in Colossae, it was a fellow named Epaphras was the one who founded that church, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so here, Paul, in several of the epistles, Paul had to go against in the teachings, and of course in this one too, against the Gnostics. Now, the Gnostics were, the Gnostics and the Judaizers were two of the ones that normally Paul had to preach out against them. And we know the Gnostics, what was it about that they were perverting the scripture about who the Lord Jesus Christ was? What were some of the perversions? Do you remember what they taught that were
that he really didn't appear in the body? Because everything that was in the flesh was sinful. I remember that that mm-hmm. portion of it. That was a Gnosticism.
So he just appeared to have had a body, but he really didn't.
Okay. He didn't have a body. Mm-hmm. That's right. So he wasn't in all points suffered like we do, because he couldn't if he didn't have a body.
Okay. And some of the Muslims taught that he really never died upon the cross. He just swooned.
He swooned. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And he recovered. Boy, that would have been some swooning.
Oh,
there.
Yes.
And so here, he had to, because the Gnostics, they believed that Jesus was a creation, not a creator.
Not a creator. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And what modern beliefs are there today? What there are those out there today that believes that he's the a son of God, but not God the Son. That he's not the creator, but he's a creator being.
Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that mm-hmm. he's created on par with the devil.
And the Mormons,
and
that's right.
And the Seventh
Day Adventists. Seventh Day Adventists?
Yes,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And the Christian Science too, don't mm-hmm. they?
Yeah.
Don't they the same? Yeah, the same
right.
way in that too. Yeah.
And so, when you take a look at the social gospels, they teach that salvation through Christ, that he's a savior, not about eternal life. Okay. They don't teach that Christ the faith in Christ brings immortality. They believe that he is going to, that the salvation is that he's going to liberate the poor nations from the wealthy, and he's going to transfer their wealth.
That's the wealth.
Salvation gospel, huh?
Yeah, that's the
not the salvation, the social gospel.
Social yes, gospel, uh-huh. right.
So he goes on to say here.
And the Judaizers believed that it was, you still had to keep the law. It was Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But you still had to keep the law. You still had to live as a Jew, and it was Christ plus.
And so now, well, yeah, they believed you had to keep at least the dietary laws and
yeah.
some of the other laws. In other words, that it took grace and works.
And works,
yes.
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
And that means that salvation is not a free gift, huh?
Right.
That's right.
Okay, so here you had, again, they caused a lot of confusion in the church, a tremendous amount of confusion. And, as they taught, of course, the Gnostics especially taught that you could actually become a god, that there was literally, you would ascend by being able to, being a spiritual being, by abstaining from anything material, that you could ascend a stairway to heaven. And that at some point you could actually get on the same level as the Lord himself if you were. Which they believe then you could make yourself become your own God, huh?
That's
yes.
right.
Uh-huh.
Who do we have today, modern day, that
Mormons.
Believes
Mormons.
That
the yeah. Mormons, that's a perfect example. Mm-hmm. What Mormons.
Well, that's, but who else? Remember Obama?
And George Soros?
Oh, yeah.
What did Obama say? I am?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He that you've been waiting for, okay?
That's right.
Yes.
But it's not, it's the way he said that.
Exactly.
Okay, I am, and then the pause there. I am is a name for who?
God.
Oh, that's God.
Yeah.
God.
And then you have the, well, what about Oprah? Oprah says what?
Yeah, that's
She's her own savior.
She's
she
her own
herself
savior.
Is
that's correct.
Savior.
Was it Jamie Foxx said that Obama was his Lord and Savior?
Pardon?
The actor Jamie Foxx said that Obama was his Lord.
Yeah,
and
I remember him saying that Obama was. They prayed. They dedicated their thing to their Lord and their Savior.
And their Savior.
Yes.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama, and then who else has proclaimed that he also is a God?
George Soros.
Yeah, right. George Soros said he.
Well, Kanye West has done that too. The entertainer. For a while there, he said he was God.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did. He said that's been years ago. He was, as a matter of fact, to me, he was the first one of the celebrities to actually really kind of do that, because that's been, and that might be 20 years ago, but it's been, you know, it's back there. But he did say that.
He don't believe that now, does he?
You know what? Well, he has his own church. I know that, so I don't know what he believes.
Does
now,
he really?
He has a church in, like, Wyoming someplace and on the ranch and all that stuff. Sure he does.
Well, I didn't know that.
I don't think he's dissolved that. I mean, he certainly did have one, and people were attending.
Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2.
Okay, 1 Tim 2.
1 Timothy chapter 2.
Okay.
And verses 1 through... 1
verses
through 15. 1
through 15, okay. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a priest and apostle. I speak truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with, broidered hair, or, and so that would actually in essence be braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly array, but with such become women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety.
Okay, so he's saying here, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men. Are we just supposed to pray for men then?
No. They mean mankind. Let's just call it mankind.
Yeah.
Okay, so then here, now he says, and for kings and all that are in authority. Now, how would you pray for kings? When he's saying, when you do that, you pray, do it accordingly. How would you, because you know who was the king at that time?
Nero.
Caesar.
Yes.
That's correct.
And Nero Caesar was evil to the core.
Oh,
he was
yeah.
wicked
yes.
and evil to the core.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have some of those here today that are wicked and evil to the core.
We got a bunch of them.
They would love to kill Christians, as many
as
they could. Now, how would you pray for kings like that?
That a king would be, that king would be in, subject to the Lord and to the Lord's way, to the word, and we pray for them to turn to the Lord, and that God would bless us with godly rulers, that they would inspire them, and if not, then we pray that God remove them.
Yes, repent
and
or perish.
And that we pray for them, for their well-being, and for their salvation, and their being in submission to the Lord. But if they will not be godly, that God would remove them, because God sets up kings and puts them down.
Okay, so this week, this coming Sunday, 9/11, we're asking people all across the whole United States, pastors, we're asking the people listening to us now out there to have their pastors pray on repentance. Pray on repentance. America's in bad shape, very bad shape.
That's right.
And she needs prayer to pray for repentance. And if they do that, repentance, and that here and revival. And so he's talking about, you're praying for them that accordingly, okay? And again, you pray that they repent. The Bible says repent or perish, repent or perish.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you ask them to do exactly that, that if they refuse to repent, you ask them that the God would remove them, huh?
Yes.
So they could not continue to do wickedness and harm the innocent, huh?
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so then he says here, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So can we live a quiet and peaceful life if we have wicked rulers?
Well, the answer is yes, we can. We can. They make it difficult for us because sometimes we have to oppose them. You said peaceful? Maybe not. Maybe not. Because as you so often say, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. So.
When the wicked are authority, the people...
The people
moan.
That's right. They, but they shout when people. Yeah.
When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice.
That's right.
So then you ask them, Lord, to either bring them to repentance or remove them. And so here, then he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, are all men going to be saved?
Absolutely not. Most won't.
I mean, God can do whatever he wants, so if he would have all men to be saved, why won't they be saved?
Because God gives men free will, and all men in their free will are not going to serve God. They are not going to obey God. They're just not going to do it.
It's not God's will that any come short of the glory, right?
Okay. Right.
That's right.
For there is one God, one mediator between God and man. So if there's one mediator, there's thousands of priests out there.
Yeah.
And that's what a priest is supposed to do, the office of a priest. So, but it says there's one mediator, one.
The man, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So he's the high priest, right?
That's correct.
Jesus Christ, who gave himself
for us,
for a ransom for all, to be justified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. So when he says that, what is he saying? He's making a statement there. He's talking about when he says, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. So he's what he's talking about is his authority.
He's telling you
he is speaking with absolute authority, right?
Yes.
Right.
And then he says, in faith and verity. Now, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. What does that mean, modest apparel?
But you don't have your front hanging out and you don't have micro minis on. you know,
things that showcase your body or draw attention to yourself. So it says, the focus on the worship service should be on the Lord,
yes,
and not on you and how you dress or how much money you make, and just like it shouldn't be focused on you. Period. So he's talking about the way that women disrupt the service sometimes with the way they dress and what and the things that they do, and that they should, and that shouldn't be the way that it is.
Who are what women?
It doesn't
are,
mean that they can't wear red, because some guys take that too far too.
Well, wearing red,
You know, you can't wear red, anything red.
You can't dress like Paula White.
All right, so now Paula White wears a mini skirt, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Okay, so here now, he says that women like men are adorning themselves in modest apparel, so that their beauty is supposed to come from inside, right?
Yes.
That's exactly right.
Now, what about shamefacedness? Do you know what shamefacedness means? It means decency.
Decency.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And sobriety. Sobriety means what? It means properly.
Right.
It means to be in a proper way, okay?
Yes.
So if in the church, who is most likely to violate that when it comes to women?
The younger women.
Yeah, absolutely
the younger
right.
Women.
It's you will have time. And the younger women sometimes, because people have a tendency, nobody in the church, in the first row of pews, people have a tendency, nobody sits in the first row, they sit behind. And so when you have new people that will come, especially these young girls, they'll come right up front and they'll sit in the pew and they'll be wearing a mini skirt. Mm-hmm. Okay, is that a distraction?
Yes,
yeah, absolutely. Well, it's like today. I mean, like you got Brittany Griner, who's basically basically nothing. She's a lesbian. She's married to a woman, and she says she refuses to cross her legs. Well, they're situations that a woman in certain type of apparel has to cross her legs, if that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
All right. I never even heard of her.
No. You wouldn't. She's a basketball player.
Oh, okay.
And she's the one that the Russians have right now. But
okay.
She touts her sexuality and that she's married to a woman. She's 6'8", and she says she's been like this all of her life. And she talks about how she absolutely, when the WNBA talked to her about being more modest and more shamefaced, she said, I refuse to cross my legs.
Huh.
Okay, so there you have it. I mean, you know.
Well, so what happens when, often what will happen, the first thing will happen is when one of these women, especially one of the young girls, comes dressed that way, the women in the church come right to me and say, Pastor, you've got to do something about that. And what is my answer to them?
That you should send an older woman to talk to her.
That's right.
Not
it's
you.
Not you. My, right.
Not you.
And I tell them, look, no, you should do something about
right.
that. You need to go to talk to her, okay? And so here, he goes on to say, and not with brighted hair, gold or pearls, or costly array. In other words, you don't dress up to show people that if you're wealthy, that you can afford all these nice things, which becometh women professing godliness with good works.
Yeah.
So let the women learn in silence with all subjection. So what does that say about a woman becoming a pastor of a church?
No way.
Not allowed. Never.
No way.
So, but I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed than Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So we know that the enemy always attacks men in the area of pride and women in the area of discernment. And so here, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. Does that mean that they can that by having a baby they find eternal life?
No.
Oh no.
So this salvation that they're talking about here means what?
But no, I think since he took it back to the fall, that and in the fall they were, well, I guess co-equal, if you will. But then in the fall, part of the curses are or is now the pecking order, if you will.
Well, going back, the Lord had given him that in Genesis chapter 3, actually even before that, because the woman was made out of the man as a helpmate, as a helpmate to the man.
Yes.
But here, now the area, what he's talking about is we see time and time again that where it comes to discernment, when men listen to their wives instead of doing what they know to be right, when Adam listened to Eve instead of God, what happened?
Well, the fall. That was made the fall complete. Everybody got in trouble when Adam listened.
When Abraham listened to Sarah instead of God, what happened?
He got in trouble.
Yes.
Okay.
Big time.
When Samson listened to Delilah, what happened?
He got his hair cut.
Yes.
He got himself. When Ahab listened to Jezebel, what happened?
The dogs ended up licking blood from both of them.
Okay, so we see it all the way through there. Okay, that. Now, there, and I find it's an interesting thing because often when we preach on that, I have women say to me, you know, you're right, that's the area, but I'm different. I have good discernment. So what does that tell you about their discernment when they think that doesn't apply to them?
But don't you think, too, that
women are kind of restored back into, they get to influence the children more than the men do if in a home where the husband works.
Well, this is what he's talking about, the salvation he's referring to, that is the best ministry that a woman can have is to be a good wife
and
a good mother.
Yeah. Yes.
But,
exactly.
You know, if it's a case where that happens, she's not. But she can be a good aunt, a good uncle, a good sister, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's the ministry that God has given them, to raise their children in the admonition and nourish them in the admonition of the Lord, huh?
Yes.
All right, we'll be back right after this. Don't.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the street. When the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ brought in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Dickie Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege, war now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. The gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. And now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege. Whoa, now heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ brought in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
All righty, we're back, and we're living on a day. You know, we've lived in America all of these years, and you know, like Ronald Reagan said it, he said it, it amazed him how the people that had the most to lose did the least amount to preserve it, and that was when it comes to freedom. And today in America, we're living under a dictatorship. It's a dictator. It's a very, very corrupt. What he was talking about, we have those people, the patriots, the Christian patriots from January 6th, patriots, that are in prisons. They're in the gulag. And they're in there because of extremely wicked and corrupt people. I mean, completely corrupt. That so-called panel of a January 6th. There's not, I think you would have it hard pressed to prove if you could take, to put any of them on a witness stand and charge them with telling the truth, that you could ever prove that they at any time in their life ever told the truth about anything. These are wicked people. I mean, absolutely.
Yes.
I wish there was, if I could get an opportunity to get them locked in a room somewhere where they could not get away. And, you know, they need to hear the gospel preached. They need to hear about that hellfire that they're heading, because they're on a, you know, God's not mocked. God is not mocked. What they're doing to his people, they're, those Christian patriots, the real patriots, true Americans, that he has locked up in the gulag down there. And Nancy Pelosi, these are wicked people. Chucky Schumer, Joe Obama, Biden.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so here, now, it's a majority of voters who want Biden impeached. This is an article by Bob Unruh.
Okay.
And here it's an interesting thing. acting president, he's not a president, Joe Obama Biden, tapes video address here on Wednesday. We're looking at a picture of him when he, again, was talking about calling Christian patriots, calling us fascists, calling us white supremacists. It is now a majority of voters, including one-third of the nation's Democrats, who are waiting for Joe Biden to be impeached. Paul Bedard at the Washington Examiner cited a Rasmussen report's assessment that found by a margin of 52% to 42% impeachment. In other words, 52% of the people in the country, registered voters, want him impeached.
That's exactly right, want him impeached.
Yes. Yeah. Those numbers include 77% of the Republicans, 50% of independents, and even 32% of Democrats, is reported. Rasmussen said that telephone and online survey contacted 1,000 likely U.S. voters on August 31st through September 1st. The report said 38% of the voters strongly support impeachment, while the 42% opposed, 30% strongly oppose it. Bedard continued in related question about the Republican promise to make good on impeachment threats. Expectations for action are down on the chances the GOPs will follow through. I'm going to tell you what, it's up to us to make sure they do follow through. We're tired of being betrayed.
Well, there's a lack of anger among the populace.
And what we have to do is we have to go after the Republicans. Praise the good Lord for people like Jim Jordan, Josh Hawley, that Marjorie Greene, Ted Cruz. These people, I don't think we're going to, they'll lead the battle. Louie Gohmert. These people that have courage. And, of course, we have the rhinos in there, and hopefully in coming election in November, some of the rhinos will be gone.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, okay. I have an interesting article here, though, and let's talk about it from the black side, if you will. Though.
Well, let me just give you this quickly. Yep. Rasmussen found 47% say that it's likely Republicans in the House will vote to impeach him, and 43% don't. Boy, I'm going to tell you, shame on those Republicans that don't. Yes. Shame on them. We're going to read their name out, okay?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And they're going to be gone in 2 years, right?
Yes.
So, go ahead with your article.
I guess, you know, leading into it, I still say we need a recall because here in Ohio, if they get in, they ride it out, and we need to do that. But anyway, mine is talking about just one of the things and the tactics that they do. It says Democratic South Carolina U.S. Senate candidate Crystal Matthews. You got to treat white people like beep. And
she uses the SHI.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just going to beep the curse words. You can figure them out as I do these censos. My district is slightly Republican. It's heavily white. Matthews told an undercover PV journalist. I'm no stranger to white people. I'm from a mostly white town. It says that she continued. And let me tell you one thing. You got to know what you're dealing with. Like, you got to treat them, white people, like, beep. Like, I mean, that's the only way that they'll respect you. We need, and then she says this, which is going on here now at every level. We need some secret sleepers, like you need them to run as other side, even though they're our side. And we need them to win. Crystal Matthews, a Democrat from South Carolina, said, we need people to run as Republicans in these local elections. This is the only way we're going to change the dynamic. And what she means is that we need to run Democrats as Republicans. We can even wreak havoc for real from the inside out. Then we can flip some beep from the inside out. And Matthew says that she needs money. It says, where's the duffel bag, boys? I need the dope boy money, not dope money. And she continues, listen, I can move all kinds of cities, but I'm a N-word at heart. I'm very much an N-word in a lot of ways, but I don't know how to turn it on and turn it off. Yikes. I mean, to me, that's really scary in that article, that if you think about it, but she's talking about the strategy that goes on. Run, you split the vote. But you run Republicans as Democrats, or Democrats as Republicans, if you will, so that you can't lose. I mean, it, let's face it, if you get a...
Well, this is exactly, look, 2 years ago, we told you that that's exactly what they were going to do.
Yeah.
You remember, we told you that, and here's, they did that all over the country. Here in Ohio, they ran...
A
number of Democrats as Republicans, and we warned people. We did programs and talking about those who were doing that, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we knew that. But now this woman is a racist to the core.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So if people vote for her in South, what's her name?
Crystal Matthews.
Crystal Matthews in South Carolina. They're voting for a racist, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay, now is that a sin?
Yes.
It certainly is.
God's Word, the Bible makes it pretty clear, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so these people out there. If they go ahead and vote for her, do you think God won't notice?
Well, God, I'm sure is noticing now. I mean, the woman is disgusting. Let's face it. There's no mercy there. There's no justice there, and there's no fairness there. And basically, what she's trying to do once again is hijack the election. This isn't the election process. This is not the way it's supposed to work.
So today, those out there that are the most outspoken racists, would you say Al Sharpton would be one?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Oh, sure.
Okay. And so there you go. Now, here, when she said, first of all, I'm whiter than ever since I quit drinking Coca-Cola.
Okay. You and I have been fighting.
Yeah, well, you've come up a couple tones, kid, since you quit drinking Coke.
So, that's exactly right. But I will go to Walmart since they said that white people are not preferred. Black people are now.
Okay.
So, they treat me a little better.
Yeah, but you know what? Walmart's saying you better stock up on stuff because China's shutting down. And that's where they get all their stuff.
That's right. Oh. But to me, the other thing is that bothers me about this whole scenario is that, but if a white person had said this, Mm-hmm. They'd be on them, and they'd censor them, and they jump right on them.
That's right.
I mean, and they think about it. A white person can't say that.
Yes.
I mean, and that's just the way that that is, you know?
Well, you know what? If Joe Obama said, if you don't vote for him, then you're not black. But let me ask you, because something's confusing here, because I've been around a while, and I remember when Joe Obama was a new senator.
But and he trained under Robert Byrd.
And he was very, very much Ku Klux Klan.
He ran, that's how he got elected, was on being in the Ku Klux Klan.
And he says Obama cleaned up pretty good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But let's face it, Robert Byrd, and I remember Robert Byrd's statement was something to the effect that he said, I wouldn't sleep with an, this was in World War II, he said he'd never spend a night with an inn in a foxhole.
Okay, let me. Well, you know why? Because he couldn't find any of them that would go in there with him. You see.
Oh my goodness.
Anyhow, so how did this thing when Joe Obama became black? How did that? Is that like transgender? Is that like, or is that where? If you feel like you're, did he one day wake up and decide that he felt that he was black? Is that how he got black?
Well, no, but see. See, Joe Obama had the best of both worlds, because you see, he was black and he was white, and when he needed to be white, he could be white, and when he needed to be black, he was black.
Okay,
and that's how that works. That's how that works. You see, you claim the white side when you're in that venue, if you will, and you claim the black side if you're in the other venue. So you can be both.
Well, Kamala Harris said he was a racist when they were running in the primaries, so he made her vice president so she would shut up?
No. Remember, they wanted a black woman, so they picked somebody whose family owned like 120 slaves. And if we have repatriations, which, obviously to me that's just kind of out there, but will she be made to pay too? Because she benefited.
Well, not only that, but that she would brag about how she would lock up all those drug dealers while she was doing drugs herself.
No, she was doing drugs herself, and she did do that. You know, we know that. You know, when they confronted her about dating a married man, Willie Brown,
dating a married man, sleeping with him.
Yeah, absolutely, sleeping with him. They both said, "So what?"
Should we give Lisa a chance to do her article? She's been waiting all night.
Well, anyway, here's something interesting. It says here. By the time the third and now fourth injections for the Wuhan coronavirus came around, interestingly, most men, Hispanics and blacks, had already figured out the scam and said, no way, Jose. But most college-indoctrinated white women, though, were eager to get triple vexed. And basically, white women with no degree at all still outpace the other groups in falling for the scheme. And these results are astonishing because they show once again that those most prone for falling for government and pharmaceutical industry lies are the very same people seen at the Women's March and Black Lives Matter events protesting against their own offspring and their own skin color.
Did we get that from God's Word, the Bible, about women being attacked in the area of discernment?
Yes.
No, we saw the most vile women in 2017 in that march, in the Women's March. We saw the most vile women you can imagine, and they all belonged to the Democratic Communist Party. They were out there in 45-degree weather, topless, but they're... the vulgarity, their language, but having 9 and 10 year old boys and girls holding placards with the F word on it. But even worse than that, it's hard for people to believe what they did up at the art museum. How they defecated on the stairs and on the sidewalks at the art museum. That shows you the mindset. Those are the type of people that the Democrats would like to make congressmen out of.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad Lisa brought up about the vaccines, because I got one here that says the mass culling of the human herd is now underway. Here's exactly how it's being accomplished to achieve mass extermination. The water supply is being cut off via geoengineering, causing global droughts and widespread crop failures. And these are things that obviously we're seeing in the regular media now. The food supply is being decimated by cutting off fertilizer supplies and causing diesel fuel prices to go sky high. Vaccines are designed to kill the gullible billions, and starvation will get the rest. It goes on to say vaccines represent another vector for global depopulation. In reality, of course, the vaccines are biological weapons designed for infertility and depopulation. Right now, we know there isn't going to be enough food in the pipeline to feed the world throughout 2023. And it says that Democrats, the government, and media are preparing to call for mass executions of all Christians. Right now, Democrats, government, and the media are claiming that the conservatives are terrorists, implying that they deserve to be exterminated. It says the past Tuesday, Democratic advisor Kurt Berdella called all Republicans a domestic terrorist cell. MSNBC's Tiffany Cross agreed and said that there should be no distinction between Republican right-wing and right-wing extremists. At the same time, Pete, though, is, I guess it's Winner, contributing writer for the Atlantic, likened the Republican Party to a dagger pointed at the throat of the American democracy. It says try to morally justify their Democrats and government and media are gearing up to try to justify their, quote, purge of all conservatives, Christians, gun owners, pro-lifers, and Trump supporters. If you're wondering who can kill billions of people faster than mass starvation and crop failures, then think of grid scenarios. Any Western government can sabotage their domestic power grid and blame the Russians for cyber attacks. And it goes on to say many other things, but it says humanity is being culled like cattle. And if you think about it, this sets it up for everything. And I really was interested when he talked about the fact that they could say that everything was blamed on the Russians if you shut down the grid. Water, power, et cetera, and so forth. There'll be no refrigeration. There'll be no heat in the winter.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you a question here. Who is America's worst enemy? Is it Putin or Obama?
Obama. Obama. The more I hate to say it, but the right. more I hear Putin talk, the more I kind of like the guy.
Yeah, well, he's
sinister, but he's definitely the lesser of two
evils. He's definitely, but he had said before, when Obama was running, he said, if you elect him, he said, we're not the communist we used to be. You're going to know what real communism is with him. That's the communism that we gave up. But anyhow, but Biden, the Democratic Communist Party, are our worst enemies.
They are.
Yes. They're right here.
That's right.
We're seeing what's happening. Today in Russia, their economy is great. Russia's economy is great. They've got more gas. They're actually burning off gas. They've got so much extra gas and oil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Today, in fact, they're switching currency. They want to go back on the gold standard. In America today, Biden is owned lock, stock, and barrel, the whole Biden crime cartel, by the Chinese government. Their job is to reduce us to the third world status. Now, there's a problem because China, they're imploding too. So it's really going to be hard to make us even worse than them. But we have been betrayed. They are the enemy. And here, Obama, Biden has taken and weaponized our intelligence agents against us. He's hired 87,000 new IRS agents to destroy.
But he's armed them. Don't forget, they're armed. These guys are all going to carry arms.
Well, guess what? I got to tell them something, too. Over 100 million of us Americans are armed, too.
Well, I agree.
Yes.
Okay. I agree.
Now, do you know what we're going to do Tuesday, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tuesday at 1 p.m. at our church, we have our sheriff, okay, and he is going to be there, and he's going to be instructing us and around the country. I encourage you folks all around the country to contact your local sheriff and remind him that his responsibility is to his citizens in his county. And I encourage you to do what we're doing. Now, our sheriff, Scott Hildebrand, is a constitutional sheriff. And he's going to be at the church, and he's going to be addressing a number of pastors there, because we're preparing, because we understand, we know that we're living in the time that God's Word, the Bible, talked about, the deep state out there, the Antichrist system. And the enemies have become that very government, that the Democratic Communist Party. Now, even the Democrats, they don't like $5 gallons of gasoline.
That's right.
The Democrats like to eat too.
Mm-hmm.
And, right.
And they're going to start feeling that. Now, Joe Obama and the Communist Collective, the party, realized that that's going to happen. So what they want to do right now, just like in China when they're having the starvation and people are rioting, they're taking people's, they've locked them out of their banks. They're arresting them and putting them in jail. The army, it gets fed. In China, the army gets fed. They make sure the army gets fed. And so, therefore, the army has their loyalty is to
the state.
To the state. And yes. So here, that's not the case with us. Our loyalty, we know the state is totally corrupt. But this is why he's arming these agents against the American people, these 87,000. So they're going to try to do whatever they can to stop. They got Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C to stop the election. If they can't stop it, if they can't do like they did before, totally corrupt, where they stole the election, then they're probably going to go to martial law. But go ahead, you got 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, they're free to keep on killing us as long as we keep on thinking that they couldn't be that evil. That is the crucial point, because once we snap out of that fond fantasy of their benevolence and face the fact that, yes, they're evil, worse than that, all the institutions we've been taught to trust from childhood on, the government at nearly every level, the medical establishment, higher education, and above all, our free so-called free press, have been corrupted by that evil, are now part of it. Once we, the people, or enough of us, stop thinking that that can't be true, then everything will change. No evidence against the vaccination horror, however solid to us, compelling it may be, can penetrate the minds that just don't want to know what all such solid evidence so obviously means.
All right. Up to this time, there's been certain things that we mentioned certain times that we could not, you know, put out there yet. Even though it was absolutely true and we could prove it, we knew that people weren't ready to hear it. They just weren't ready. They would, because of the fake news media.
Yes.
It's time now. We're going to start bringing things out that we did with the pedophilia. The pedophilia is massive within the Democratic Communist Party. When we come back, you remember that fellow named Paul Harvey? Well, he did a little,
absolutely. Uh-huh.
He did a little clip on "If I Were the Devil," and it's a very interesting thing because he couldn't have been more correct than he was. And I remember when he made this. But then after we play that clip of him, then we're going to play some reality of some of the things that's happening, that's going on. That it's time people learn on national radio, not just on the internet, but on national radio. And so we're actually what they call in DEFCON 1 right now. And so as we're coming up to a break, once we come back from the break, we're going to get, what was that?
Okay.
Well, we're coming up to the break right now, so we will be back after this with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
WHKW, W245CY, Cleveland, reminding you, it's time to get back to church this Sunday, a service of Salem Media Group.